The founders of Sierra Online are returning to the games business, kind of. Plus, games thought to be PS5 exclusives are now going to the PS4. Is this really a bad thing? Tonight is June 6th, 2021, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore, what would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. That's what this button does. It's been a while. It's been like 2 weeks or a week. I took a week off. And then I forget how to use everything, so it's all great. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a June edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Sunday nights, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. If not, you can if you're not here and you don't know, we actually do tape the show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And you can join us then. But I understand if you have family stuff going on, it's Sunday night. I completely understand. You have other things possibly going on. You can find us on the podcast feed, and that is amazing that you're listening and downloading. And you can join our Discord server during the week, vognetwork.com/Discord, and you can feed stories during the week. Some of the stories we have tonight came from people who listen to the podcast and wanted to talk about it and have some of their thoughts on the stories that we have tonight. So you can join us that way. So, but you being here and remembering that I exist after a week off is amazing. One thing that is also amazing is that I get to participate with an event that is near and dear to my heart nowadays, and that's Summer Games Done Quick. So Summer Games Done Quick 2021, the speedrunning marathon generates millions of dollars for charity. The summer event benefits Doctors Without Borders, which is MSF, which is a French name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce because I can't do it. I learned Spanish, not French, in school, so I'm not going to try to pronounce the French version of the name, but Prevent Cancer Foundation in Awesome Games Done Quick. And I am honored to be a host or a donation reader once again this year. The event runs from July 4th, which is a special day in America, but it's just a Sunday everywhere else in the world, to July 11th. And our hosting assignments are in, and I kind of predicted this would happen because I have been fortunate enough the past two times I've done Games Done Quick, I have always done like prime time evening games. I've done Devil May Cry. I've done Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, as now has been memed to existence, apparently. And I've done Yoshi's Island. But these were all like in the evening, dinner time here in the United States, and I'm like, you know, it's time that it's the time that I probably get one of the graveyard shifts. So I do actually have a graveyard shift this coming SGDQ. So if you're in Europe, you might be able to listen to me on your lunch break, because I'm going to be working at like 5 in the morning on Eastern time, which is probably 10 a.m. GMT. I believe we are 5 hours behind again instead of 4. I can't remember. Time zones are weird, and as is the daylight saving stuff that I hate. So lunchtime in Europe is when I'll be on. But I'm going to be hosting for 5 games in the middle of the night. So starting at 5:22 a.m. on Monday, July 5th. So I'm going to be recovering from the 4th of July. Nintendogs. This is the run that, like, all the Nintendo sites said, hey, you know, Games Done Quick schedules out, and they're doing a Nintendogs run. So this run, Zooketra has done this run at ESA, the European Speedrunners Assembly, all beginner contest golds. So he's going to be running that. at 5:22 a.m. Then at 5:57 a.m., and these are all subject to change. Like, the schedule's already shifted 40 minutes from when they released it. 5:57 a.m., so about 6 a.m. Eastern, Star Tropics 2, Zoda's Revenge, I can't remember, by the Tantalus, any percent. That's actually going to take about an hour. But then Junkyard Dave comes in with two NES games running any percent, starting at about 7:12 a.m. So probably if you're waking up in the morning, even though it's a holiday, it's probably going to be a holiday for a lot of people out here because July 4th is on a Sunday. Tiny Toon Adventures, and then he's going to be following that up with Batman the Video Game for NES. So he's doing two in a row, both any percent. And then at 8:04 a.m., Edo 87 is going to be doing a pacifist run of Ninja Gaiden for the NES. So that is going to be happening on Monday, July 5th. But I kind of had an inkling this might happen, but I didn't think it would happen. So you usually work 6 hours. So that would be two shifts. So that's about a three-hour shift that I just told you. So I've got another three-hour shift on Saturday, July 10th, and this is prime time because it's literally the finale of SGDQ. Nin10866 is running critical mode any percent of Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, and I can tell you that there is going to be an incentive, a donation incentive, to turn this into a level 1 critical mode any percent. It's most likely going to be a level 1 critical mode any percent run of Kingdom Hearts to Final Mix. It's estimated at 3 hours and 15 minutes, and it is literally the finale of SGDQ. This is a huge honor. They usually put people who they consider to be strong and proven on the last day, and then the finale especially, because the finale is the person bringing it home. It sends to Sumichu, who is the director of Games Done Quick, and, you know, with an interview with somebody from the charity, and it's the last, I'm pretty much the last person you hear for that. So that is a huge honor, and yes, I will work the 5 a.m. shift because I get to work the finale, which will start at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday night, the 10th. So if you want to donate during those times, what I would suggest, your donations are more likely to be read during that Monday morning block. Just going to say it. But if you put in the hashtag Vogue Network into your donation comment, that will tell the donation station that it's part of my community and I can kind of prioritize them as I wish. But a lot of the games in the Monday morning block are very short. They're like 17 minutes, 15 minutes. So I probably won't be reading donations during the game. I think Star Tropics is like an hour. But you put that in and I can kind of prioritize it underneath the runners and, you know, stuff. So if you want to get your donation comment read, that's a great time. But Kingdom Hearts 2 is also 3 hours. So it may get read. I may be able to read during that time as long as you donate close to that time. Don't donate like on Wednesday, because it's not going to still be in the queue. I'm not going to see it on Saturday. So this is a huge honor, and I am very thankful for this opportunity, and I get to join the short list of people who have closed out a Games Done Quick event. As Sheridan Man says, obviously the Spike, Vegeta, and gang or other... I said crew. Spike, Vegeta, and crew didn't hurt you. No, I played it off. I played it off pretty well, and Spike, I don't think, actually had any choice in who got host. I don't think he was on the host judge committee, so I don't even think he knows I'm there yet, but we'll find out. So I'm very excited for that. So July 4th through July 11th, July 4th is a Sunday. I don't actually know if we're going to be doing podcasts on that night. I may be doing things kind of like I was last week. Here in the in the neighborhood or something, you know, outdoors safely. But we'll know that before then. But we got a few shows between now and then. So let's move on. Before I move on, I do want to say that in terms of in-person events, Dragon Con is confirmed to be an in-person event. Like, they basically made the decision. Dragon Con is happening in person. Things are in motion in regards of panels for myself, Rob Roberts, who is also, as of right now, we are planning on being there. He's planning on coming out for it. So things are in motion with all that. And for panels with both the video game track as well as the digital media track. And then 2 weeks before then, August 20th through 22nd, Southern Fried Gaming Expo, that is happening in person. I'm working with them on panels about Twitch streaming and podcasting, and I am putting together a panel about speedrunning now. So if you happen to be listening and you are a speedrunner, some of you actually does speedrun semi-seriously, and you are localish to the Atlanta area, we're basically Southern Fried Gaming Expo especially is concentrating on people who live in the Southeast because they're not flying in anybody. Get in touch with me. I've put out a couple calls on Twitter for this. And also the video game track at Dragon Con wants a speedrun panel. So if you are already attending Dragon Con, because I can't get you into Dragon Con, I can get you into Southern Fried. I can't get you into Dragon Con, but if you're already attending Dragon Con, you're a speedrunner, get in touch with me because there's an opportunity that we may be able to put you on stage for a panel, in-person panel only. We're not doing virtual panelists for these events. These are in-person in August and September. So only if you feel that you're going to be comfortable by then being in those rooms. HDI Andrew, who is a friend of the show, been here on the show a couple times, says both are so desperate they have even asked me to speak. Are you saying that when I invite Andrew Greenberg from the Georgia Game Developer Association, by the way, when I invite him, I am desperate? I don't think so. I do not think that I am desperate when I invite Andrew on my show to speak. Well, I'm just going to let that linger. We're going to move on to some of the gaming news. This was actually shared on our Discord. And it was kind of nice to see this because if you followed the podcast here for a while, you know that I detest the current fanboy wars. And it's because I participated in fanboy wars when I was young, when I was because I'm 29 years old. So this obviously was when I was like two because I was a baby, obviously. Wink, wink. My fanboy war was Sierra Online versus Lucasfilm Games in the point-and-click adventure wars of the late 80s, early 90s. And I was Team Sierra all the way. Maybe not King's Quest so much. I was more in, like, the Police Quest and the Space Quest. Lucasfilm Games could do no correct. You know, I didn't like the Maniac Mansions at the time. I didn't care for Day of the Tentacle or Monkey Island or any of that. I've grown out of it. So I've grown out and now can appreciate Lucasfilm Games for what they were back in the 90s. But when I was there, it was Sierra Online. And the founders of Sierra Online were a couple by the name of Ken and Roberta Williams. And Ken was the CEO, he was the business person, he was the programmer, and Roberta was really the person who was into games and doing game design. And it came out this past week that Ken Williams himself leaked out that he is returning to games right now. So, caveat to this is that it's not as awesome as it sounds. I mean, it's awesome, but it's not as awesome as it sounds. Screen Rant reports that out of nowhere, it's been revealed that Ken and Roberta Williams, the legendary founders of Sierra Online, are returning to game development with a brand new original project. The company was famous creating amazing video games and adventure and point-and-click game genres that are currently experiencing somewhat of a renaissance. Thank you, RIP Telltale Games, but now other Wajid Eye Games is carrying it on in the indie space, so check out some Wajid Eye Games titles if you're really into especially the old-school style of point-and-click games. And Telltale really spawned like the 3D point-and-click adventure games and made those popular. According to Space Quest Historian on YouTube, the legendary Sierra Online is partially making a return as the founders of the company, Ken and Roberta Williams, have been secretly working on a brand new video game with partner Marcus Maximus Mira for half a year. He's a 3D modeler, programmer, artist, and stuff like that. That's who he is. Although quite doubtful, the breaking news has been confirmed by none other than Ken Williams himself in response to the YouTube content creator. The veteran developer announced that the project will be revealed in the coming months, but there's nothing to share publicly at the moment. So, the reason this is happening, I am sure, is for the same reason that the book that is behind me happened, which is Ken Williams' autobiography called Not All Fairy Tales Have Happy Endings. And it's him recounting the origins of the rise and fall of Sierra, basically. And he actually mentions in the book why he wrote the book. And why he wrote the book is because when Ken and Roberta retired, they got a yacht and they traveled the world. Well, guess what you weren't allowed to do starting in March of 2020? So they were stuck at home. And they like doing things. And preferably they like doing things by traveling and experiencing things. And they could not. And so he wrote a book. Well, he finished the book and the book came out and... then there was like nothing. He still couldn't travel. You still couldn't travel. So what is he going to do next? And so I'm assuming what he said next is, all right, I'm going to get back into programming, because Ken really did love programming computers. He didn't care if it was games or business software. He just loved programming. And so this opportunity probably came up and he said, sure. Now, everybody thinks that Roberta Williams is going to be heavily involved, and unfortunately, that's not the case. So after that ScreenRant.com article came out, I went over and I looked up the Space Quest historian on YouTube, and he actually has a couple follow-up videos, because more details emerged that weren't as much Ken and Roberta Williams are returning to designing games. So Ken Williams actually posted an FAQ on Facebook on his account, so we know it's true. He says it's a game. It's going to be very mainstream. Roberta talked him out of the educational game and into something more people would enjoy. And he's going to say what it is about 6 weeks from now. So it's not going to be an E3 announcement. It's going to be a July announcement. But hey, Summer Games Fest will still be going on. So Jeff Keighley, give him a call. So he's hoping the game's going to come out in November. But it's probably not realistic. The platforms, he doesn't know. Certainly Mac and Windows. So that he doesn't know what is going to be coming out. They're going to have some beta testers soon. So he wants people to email him. So ken@kensblog.com. He's not going to respond, but he'll put your name on the list of possible beta testers. If you really want to have that, he's inclined to having fewer people. He actually was asked in this FAQ, what's Roberta's involvement? So Roberta is actually the game designer who created King's Quest and Mixed Up Mother Goose and, Phantasmagoria, not to be confused with Phasmophobia. But what's Roberta's involvement? So far, her involvement has been important but minimal. She was the original inspiration for the game and has been consulted almost daily. But in terms of hours spent in front of a computer, it is 99% Marcus and myself, being Ken Williams. We've been filling all spare time 7 days a week. Roberta will get more and more involved as we get closer. So Roberta Williams is not the designer of the game. So everybody thought, well, maybe this means that Ken is the designer of the game. And there was a third video that was like, no, I'm not the designer of the game. There's a third person involved who is the designer of the game, and they haven't named that person yet, and they're going to name that person probably in a month or so. So we don't know who it is. One person we do know who it's not, or we're pretty sure it's not, is Al Lowe, the creator of the Leisure Suit Larry series, because Al is not involved, or Al is really good at acting like he has no clue what's going on when everybody's spamming his email thinking that he's working with Ken Williams on a new game. So it's probably not Al Lowe. Don't email him. I'm not going to contact him. I've met him. He's a great person, but I'm not going to try to blow up his email or anything to get any information, because he's acting like he doesn't know what's going on. So, and this is not a new company. Ken addresses that. He wants to write code. He doesn't want to start a company. I honestly think this is just something so Ken can do something with his life until him and Roberta can get back out on the yacht and can get back out and travel, which is probably going to be very soon. So this is probably he's probably going to see this to the end, because Ken does like seeing things to the end when I read his book. But I don't think anything will come of it after that. But I am excited to see what comes out of this, knowing that Roberta is involved minimally, as she is involved, and Ken is involved. It's going to be really interesting to see what comes out of this. And as a former Sierra fanboy, actually still Sierra fanboy, but not as militant as I was before, I'm very excited to see this. SJ Winner Matt says, yeah, Al Lowe doesn't seem like he has anything to do with the industry anymore. He's been eBaying a lot of this old stuff pretty consistently. He's been burned recently and not so recently as well. But he still does come out and do appearances. Like, I met him at a Dragon Con several years ago, and we actually had some really good conversations about, you know, stuff that's not just Leisure Suit Larry. And so he remembers it fondly, but yeah, like, he probably wants to get rid of his stuff because he is getting old, and I can understand that because I kind of wish my father, before he passed, started getting rid of his stuff and selling it to people that might want it before he passed, because now I have to go do it. And so he probably wants to save his kids from doing it. And, you know, he probably wants a little bit, some of that retirement money. So Questbush says, it's nice to hear that both are dabbling a little in games and keeping it low-key, maybe something to just scratch an itch or two and try things out their way. And I think that's what it is, especially with the rise of independent game development. You don't need a large company to do it, kind of like you didn't when they started, you know, when they were just bagging up floppies and Ziploc bags and sending them out to computer stores back in the early 80s. It's probably a little bit like that. ZenMonkey11 says, I don't think they made the game, but I remember Sierra Games because I love Tribes Aerial Assault on the PS2. That was my first online FPS and still one of my faves to this day. Yeah, that was Sierra. It was the same company, but it wasn't the Sierra of my youth. Essentially, it turned into a publishing arm. It got purchased and sold around and by a larger company back in the late 90s, and so, like, they published games like Half-Life. The original Half-Life was technically a Sierra game, but it wasn't the Sierra game of the early 90s. When you said Sierra game back then, you thought a point-and-click adventure game like a King's Quest or a Police Quest. Sierra games obviously meant something different later in life as more of a publishing arm of stuff like Tribes and like Half-Life and things like that. So, and other studios would make those games and Sierra would publish them. Questbush said that you had a stint importing Japanese titles like Sorcerian and Thexter. Yes, and Sylphid was an import as well that Sierra put out with Game Arts of Japan, was the company in Japan that they would import from. Dark Decia says, I do have Police and Space Quest. I need to sit down and play those one of those days. I kind of miss that whole era of PC gaming. Yeah, and they're not long. That's the thing. Especially if you kind of know what you're doing. Like, they were long for us because we didn't really have the hint guides. We didn't. You had to call a BBS long distance to get hints. Or there was a phone number you could call to talk to somebody. And that's what took them so long. But, like, I can go through. I actually streamed a couple years ago Police Quest 2 on Twitch. And it's basically wound up being like 3 hours from start to finish. And we paid $50 for those games. So, you know, but it was only a couple hours, especially the text parser games. So they're not long. But there's obviously way more guides out there on the internet. You can get unstuck a lot quicker now. But it's realized that they were products of their time. And especially Police Quest 2, when I streamed it, I was like, oh, that would be problematic today. Oh, that stereotype, pretty bad. Yeah. But yeah, they're probably available on, like, Good Old Games. And you can get them, and they run in DOSBox. And you can experience them today. So, Sierra not coming back, but the Williams Ken Williams is dipping his toe back into games for a little bit until he can get back out on his yacht and enjoy the rest of his life with his lovely wife, Roberta. Let's talk about other games that are supposed to be, that we thought were going to be really big title next generation games. And E3VL wanted to bring this up, because he's not happy about it, spoiler alert. But it's that there's going to be a bunch of games that we thought were going to be, you know, centerpieces of the PlayStation 5. And showing exactly what the PlayStation 5 can do, much like what the new Ratchet & Clank is doing, what Returnal has done. And it turns out, no, not so much, we think. So it has been announced that IGN has reported that Horizon Forbidden West will release on both PS4 and PS5, but there will be some graphical improvements available for the PlayStation 5 version. So everybody was all excited because we were going to be getting, it's going to showcase the PS5, and that's not actually what's going to happen. Well, it will showcase PS5, but not as much as some people want. As revealed by game director Mathis Dejong, I can't tell if I pronounced that correctly or not, in an interview with Game Informer, development on Horizon Forbidden West has used the PS4 console, so it's designed with that hardware in mind. He said, quote, "A lot of the development has taken place on the PlayStation 4, and a lot of playtesting has been done on PlayStation 4. So we are ensuring that owners of the console have a great experience and the game will look fantastic on that console. For the PlayStation 5, we can go much further, of course. Visually, we can add a lot more detail. Graphically, the rendering technique for the underwater scenes is special for the PlayStation 5. It has extra details and extra systems, much like the wave technique is better on that system," unquote. As well as improved water and environmental details, the PS5 version is able to make use of a cinematic-grade lighting system that the PS4 can only use in cutscenes. He says, quote, "The lighting on Aloy in PlayStation 5 has much more definition. We use a special cinematic lighting rig that on the PlayStation 4 is only used in cutscenes because the game is not running and we have more processing power in those scenes. But with the PlayStation 5, we have plenty of processing power, so we can have that lighting rig always available, so she always looks great with the lighting setup, traveling with her anywhere," unquote. Additionally, as noted by the Twitter account Nibel, an interview with French YouTuber Julien Chies has revealed that the PS5 version supports a 60 frames per second performance mode. It's unclear what sacrifices will be made to achieve that 60 frames per second, but based on Sony's other games, it's likely to be reduced resolution in the absence of hardware-intensive lighting effects. The PS5 version of Horizon Forbidden West will make use of most of the 3D audio and the DualSense controller, as previously reported. The adaptive triggers will simulate the resistance of a bowstring. So Questbus says, oh good, I guess I don't need to keep looking for a PS5 anymore. I still want one, but I doubt the new Ratchet & Clank will be downgraded to the PS4. Now, the new Ratchet & Clank is going to be PS5 only, because the entire design, let's put it that way, of the new Ratchet & Clank is the multi-dimensional hopping and the fact that there's no load screens because they're using the solid state drive of the PlayStation 5. That's really the biggest thing the PlayStation 5 brings that the PS4 doesn't have. That is actually like gameplay relevant, because they can have more things loaded at once, or they can load other scenes a lot quicker with the SSD that they can't do on a platter drive, on a hard drive. So that's kind of the biggest gameplay thing. Everything else, it's just window dressing. All the graphical upgrades and the frames per second, that's just window dressing. And it's more like the PC is, it's more like a PC. You upgrade your PC, you get an incremental upgrade, but it doesn't mean that the games can't run on lower hardware. They just run on lower settings. So that's really what's going on here. And Questmaster about Ratchet & Clank says, yeah, I can't see players and critics falling in love with the PS4 version if it stutters and loads every time a portal opens. And SJ Renaman says, yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't run out to get a PS5. Then again, the Series X and S is kind of suffering with not having many new titles designed for the console and not a fancy upscale. So it's not just Horizon Forbidden West. I almost said Verizon because I'm thinking Forza Horizon. It's not just Horizon Forbidden West. There are other games that we thought were going to be PS5 exclusive that are also going to be on the PS4. Polygon reports that Gran Turismo 7, as well as the next God of War game, will not be exclusive to the PlayStation 5. They will also be released on the PlayStation 4, according to a new interview with Herman Holst, the head of PlayStation Studios. In the interview, which was conducted for the official PlayStation podcast, more podcasts getting into my space here. No, they're all welcome. Holst shared details on what's to come from PlayStation, along with some of its thoughts on PS5 and PS4 development. Sony published excerpts from the chat in a PlayStation blog post on Wednesday. Hull said that the 7-year-old PS4 is very much a focus for future game development at Sony, and that the company can't and won't walk away from the 110 million PS4 owners out there. He said, quote, "I think it'd be bad news for fans of PS4 and frankly not very good business," unquote. So Sony has said that they have shipped 7.8 million units of the PS5 as of March 31st. How many of those units are available? Are people actually playing? I don't know. Because there's a lot of bots and scalpers out there that are still hoarding them up. So, yes, it's sold quicker than anything else, but not to the actual people of that are playing the games. People are holding on to them to hopefully sell them on their own for about 2 times the price. As a result, said Holst, Sony will continue looking at developing PlayStation games for both PS4 and PS5. He named Guerrilla Games Horizon Forbidden West, which Sony previously said would be a cross-generation title, as well as the next God of War game and Gran Turismo 7. He said, quote, "Where it makes sense to develop a title for both PS4 and PS5 for Horizon Forbidden West, the next God of War, Gran Turismo 7, we'll continue looking at that. And if PS4 owners want to play that game, then they can. Then if they want to go and play the PS5 version, that game will be there for them," unquote. So they're kind of saying, yes, if you buy it, you get it on. They're going to do the cross promotion, cross buy. You buy it on PS4, you can play it on PS5 when you're ready. PS4 news comes as a surprise, particularly for Gran Turismo 7, which Sony marketed as a PlayStation 5 exclusive in a sizzle reel of PlayStation games published in December. And in an investor presentation next week, the company listed the next God of War title as part of its lineup of upcoming PS5 games, but left it out of the PS4 lineup. Sony has previously dodged questions related to platform exclusivity. In an interview with The Telegraph around the launch of the PS5, PlayStation president and CEO Jim Ryan said he had nothing to say about that when asked to confirm whether the new God of War game would be a PS5 exclusive. So in Wednesday's interview with the PlayStation blog, Holst also spoke about release windows, saying that the sequel to 2018's God of War is now scheduled to launch in 2022, and that Horizon Forbidden West may or may not hit its previously announced 2021 timeframe. He said, quote, "For Horizon, I think we are on track to release this holiday season, but that isn't quite certain yet, and we're working as hard as we can to confirm that with you as soon as we can," unquote. And Gran Turismo 7, it announced in February, it's going to be delayed to 2022, so we're not going to see that soon anyway. So, E3VL, who commented on VogNetwork.com, this was a suggested topic. He gave his thoughts on this. And he says that he thinks that this hinders the potential of the games. You have to cater to the lowest common denominator to make both games' core experience similar. Unless they plan to make two fundamentally different games, which I doubt, they could have utilized the solid-state drive, the PS5 hardware to its full potential. Think of the things that will be compromised. So he said graphics and performance, physics, AI or the amount of enemies on screen, or an environmental effects and level design. So most of those that he listed is window dressing. The graphics and performance, the environmental effects. That's window dressing. That you can downgrade that easily. PC games have done it for generations. The physics, I can understand the physics, but really for games like especially Horizon, this is not a Dynasty Warriors game. So the amount of enemies on screen probably isn't a factor in Horizon. I'm not sure about God of War. But a lot of times they're developing these games, like a lot of these games, I believe God of War, they've been building it on a PS4 anyway. Like they've built it for a PS4. So it's not that they're really compromising stuff, it's that there is a gap. There's going to be a gap of time where they're working on PS4 hardware to build a PS5 game. And as J1Matt even says, to be fair, there's usually a gap year in some titles, usually sports. They continue to use the old engine on the new console for about 2 years, and the pandemic has affected development drastically. And so, like, they've been working on the next God of War since probably 2018. And they didn't have PS5 hardware in 2018. They didn't know what the PS5 was going to be able to be capable of in 2018, so they developed it for the PS4. I highly doubt that there's going to be any new gameplay elements that could have been done for these games because they were being designed for the PS4, and they're like, oh, okay, the PS5 has the DualSense controller. Okay, we'll add that in. And with Horizon, what they were saying is that, you know, yeah, the water effects will be better on the PS5, but it's not going to change the fact that you can go in the water on the PS4. You're still going to be able to dive into the water, just the waves aren't going to ripple the same. And I don't think that's a big deal. Other people do. SJ Roman says, basically, they're sitting on a game that works on an engine on a console that most folks can't have. The install base probably isn't enough for them to make a huge profit, so why not make it work on the PS4 since people have that, still have that, and it still works on the PS5. And Questor says, at least the differences won't be as jarring as during the Amiga, Apple II, DOS days when conversions were made for as many PCs as possible with huge differences. Oh, the Amiga version had music during a battle? Oh, no, Apple II version has silence, yes. SJ Roman Man says, it's economics. And this is not new either. Usually we see it more during the launch window because remember, Breath of the Wild released for the Wii U. And now that was an interesting situation because they actually had to remove functionality for it to work on the Switch because they had initially developed Breath of the Wild to use the Wii U gamepad, to use the second screen. They took that out. The tablet thing, the Sheikah Slate, that was supposed to be the Wii U gamepad. So that's actually like they had to take things away to make it work on the Switch. But they released Breath of the Wild for the Wii U. I believe when the Wii came out, they released Twilight Princess on the GameCube. So you see that. We've seen it before where they've released games on the previous console, even though it was a next-gen title. And Microsoft's already said, like, Halo Infinite's going to be playable on the Xbox One. In fact, there aren't that many games on the Xbox Series X that are actually truly Xbox Series X exclusives. They all, just about all of them run on the Xbox One. I believe there's one or two that don't run on the Xbox One, but most of them do. And this means that you don't have to run out and get the newest console as quick as possible because they're very difficult to find right now. I don't think this is a bad thing because now if somebody really wants to play Horizon Forbidden West and they can't get their hands on a PS5, they'll be able to play it on launch day. Yeah, the waves in the water won't look as good and maybe they won't get to see the mountain far, far, far in the distance and they won't have the cinematic lighting, but they'll still be able to play the game. It's going to be the same story. Everybody's going to be playing the same game and have the same experience. It's just going to look a little bit nicer and probably feel a little bit nicer on the PlayStation 5. So I know E3VL thinks that this is going to be hamstringing developers. My response to that is they were already developing for the PS4. So it's probably not hamstringing them as much. But if we're still seeing games in 2024 being released for both the PS4 and the PS5, then we can kind of say, okay, maybe they're holding themselves back. Questbuster says, one of the neatest conversions was when Crimson Skies went from the PC to the OG Xbox. They literally rebuilt the PC Flight Simi version into a pretty competent arcade flyer. I enjoyed Crimson Skies on the Xbox. I really enjoyed that game. And Questbuster says, I still wish someone would make a new Crimson Skies game. There's a spiritual successor. That's all we're going to have. But there was like a game that came out on the Xbox Series X and it even like runs at 120 frames per second. And everybody's like, oh, this feels a lot like Crimson Skies. I forget the name of it because I didn't get it, unfortunately. But I know that it has a lot of Crimson Skies vibes. Crimson Skies and Mech Assault were the original Xbox Live games that I played a lot on Xbox Live on the original Xbox. Which Mech Assault was Mech Warrior, but consoleized. Hopefully I got your point across as well, E3VL, even though I slightly disagree. Hopefully I got your point out there, because I like it when people do disagree with me a little bit. We're going to take a quick music break, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines to see if somebody else disagrees, or if you agree, or you want to talk about something, because E3, all the E3 stuff's going to be starting this week. So what you do is you go into our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. You join the Green Room voice chat channel. That way I can see you. And then on the other side of the music break, I'll pull you into another voice chat channel that says on the air. You can see it. You just can't join it. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about in the gaming industry. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Mexican, Act Deaf, and you're participating in the Bobby Blackwell Show. Whether he's right or wrong, his opinion is always something worth listening to. Except for the music critics. Those sometimes suck.
R.I.P. Act Deaf. F's in the chat. F's in the chat for Act Deaf, because Act Deaf no longer exists. There's some new person in our chat called Mike Deaf, but Act Deaf, F's in the chat. He's gone. And he said that the music break, which actually was a banger tonight. You guys, y'all missed it on the podcast feed. It was a banger from Batman the Video Game from Overclock Remix. But, yeah, that the music break, in my opinion, did not suck this time. But Act Deft, who, once I said, is no longer with us, he thinks the music breaks sometimes suck. F's in the chat for Act Deft. And welcome, Mike Deft, to the Voice of Geeks Network. So, I'm looking in the chat, and like nobody's in the green room right now. So I wanted to actually mention that there was a tweet or something that came out about Cyberpunk 2077, which we haven't talked about much in this on this show recently, because I played it on Xbox Series X and I returned it to Gamefly. But apparently, it's come out recently that there has been a bug video that the team has created. And I'm trying to figure out like what, and I'm trying to find the tweet here. But essentially that it came out that the team had made a bug video. This came from the CD Projekt Red hack, that they created an internal bug montage video, Cyber El Bugatu 2020, just prior to the release of Cyberpunk 2077. So this is a thread on Reset Era is where this came from. Now, I have no doubt that this is true. I know that this is true. And the reason I know this is true is because literally every game company does this. So a lot of game companies, especially ones that don't have extremely buggy games that you see, when their QA testers find bugs, they have to record a video. And so the videos of these bug reports all get dumped into a folder. And so what somebody probably did is they made a montage of bugs that the testers found and reported and made it into a montage for the rap party, which they probably, you know, had a virtual rap party. But this is no different than a blooper reel. And just about every company does this, and sometimes they'll even, like, name the name it like, you know, terrible videos don't put horrible vids do not watch, and it's all the bug videos. And so then they cut it together, and then at the rap party they play it, and everybody gets a laugh out of it. But people who aren't in the game industry saw this and said, wow, CD Projekt Red thinks so poorly of us that they make jokes out of the bugs in their game. And I'm like, everybody does. Fifth Dream said, CDPR knew when the video is all development footage, acting like it's post-release footage. 6-year-old bugs are in this thing. You know, things that they've recorded all throughout development. So if you see that and, you know, you think that it's a damning indictment of CD Projekt Red, everybody does it. Everybody does it. And there are other people that are in the industry that said, yeah, no, we've always had this. Like, in every game I've worked on, there's been a bug montage at the end when we're like, ha-ha, we made it through development hell, and now we get to laugh. Just like at every rap party for a movie or a TV series or, you know, a season for a TV show, they will usually put a blooper montage, which is the same thing, it's just in TV terms. And sometimes they even put that blooper montage on the Blu-ray as a special feature, and you get to laugh at all the bugs that came up with the actors not performing the way that they should and flubbing lines. So it's not that big of a deal. If I was seriously building a game and I was recording videos of the bugs when I'm playtesting or getting from playtesters, if I was getting to that point in my career to be able to do that, absolutely I would be creating a montage of those bug reports from the development of the game. So, yes, Cyberpunk 2077 released with a lot of bugs, but they also fixed a lot of bugs, and that's what the montage most likely was. I haven't watched it. I think it is out because it was part of the CD Projekt Red hack. Yeah, this is nothing new in the game industry, but if you've never worked in an entertainment industry like a TV show or a movie or a video game, yeah, this sounds callous and terrible, but it's normal. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network is another show that took a week off, so hopefully we remember how to do all this. I figured out all my buttons, and, you know, so... hopefully this is the button that... Nope, that's the wrong button. That was the red button. Sorry. But coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network, I think it's this button that calls them, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we are all refreshed after having a weekend off, hopefully. And so hopefully I got the right button this time. Sacramento, are you there?
You found the button.
I found the correct button. Yay. And it's this button. That's the button that puts you on the screen and everything. Hooray. How you been? Are you refreshed after 2 weeks and not having to be on a mic?
Yeah, I had a great weekend off. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, it was awesome. I got to see a group of friends that I hadn't seen any of them, obviously, for in a year and a half. Everybody vaccinated except the two-year-old. I had a fantastic time.
Yeah, I also got to, you know, be safely with people. I'm feeling fine, obviously. And, you know, so it was good to get out and see people again. I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know if I should.
Yeah,
say
it's
that
really nice to be it's really nice to be thinking about things like Dragon Con and where it's like, oh, there's like a lot of. I don't think it's going to be a normal year at the end of the day, but there's a lot of normalcy in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
And I will say, here in Georgia, it's really rapidly returning to normal, for better or for worse. And I know about our percentages, and I don't want to get into that and all that stuff. But but the community around here is ready to get back to normal with a vengeance.
You know, and to some extent that's also true in California. It really is. Like, you know, there's just a lot of normal things happening, but like with modifications. Like, you know, masks are, you know, still when you go to Target or the grocery store. Dining, you know, I feel like they're going to keep the outdoor dining in the street probably long after they change restrictions. And they're already talking about like the take home alcohol will probably stay there. Anyway, not to derail too much, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see all these changes. And, you know, as they open things like bowling alleys and arcades here in California, which, remember, in California, those things have been closed until your county gets into the orange territory is when I think bowling alleys reopen and things like that. You know, these are the arcades and the places where people gather for gaming. So it'll be nice to see some of that stuff coming back.
Yeah, we're like I said, Georgia, we're a little bit different for better or for worse. And so we're it's rapidly getting to be like the old times. And I'm ready for it, and here, like, it's only if they say if you're vaccinated, you should wear a mask. But like now, even like in the Target, like I don't have to wear a mask out here. So we're still, like I said, different places have different outlook on things, for better or for worse. But I'm going to be as safe as I can, so I can enjoy my Dragon Con with all my friends and all the panels that we might be on, because there's going to be less people there to be on panels.
Yeah. I think that, I think ultimately that's kind of what happens with Dragon Con, is that generally the attendance will probably dip from 2019, but
which
not
is a good
like
thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like what they need, and that's okay.
Yeah, and then Southern Fried Gaming Expo, it's 2 weeks earlier, but they're going full speed ahead. So you know, and hopefully I'll be doing some panel stuff on there, and we're gonna be turning in our check to be sponsor again. I still need to do that, but we're going to be sponsoring that show again, and it's going to be fun, and we're going to try to salvage and get back a little bit of what we have wisely not done for the past year. So
Yeah, and big thanks to all you on Twitch for helping to make those types of sponsorships happen. Yeah. You know, that's the biddies and the subs. It's really added up over this time, and it's allowed us to do things like sponsor Southern Fried and get our name out there, and hopefully allow us to participate in other conventions as places like California get to where George is at, assuming everything stays trending the way it has been for the last month, and I think that would be great.
Yeah, because this is our marketing. Like, we don't have, like, a marketing budget. We don't buy ads. What we do is we sponsor events, smaller local events. Mm-hmm. And I know we want to do some in California as well. We just I think we've kind of found the right people, but I think you're looking for the right people to sponsor on your end.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're still talking about that kind of stuff behind the scenes. But, yeah, so we kind of want to – that's our marketing to get more people into the community. But coming up sooner – is this E3 thing is happening. Yeah. Like, it's now here. And apparently there is, like, I saw some people that were like, yeah, I got my press credentials for E3. And I'm like, it's a digital event. But, like, they were screening people or something. I didn't even try. But we're going to be watching the conferences. They start on Thursday, I think.
Well, Thursday is Summer Games Fest, which technically isn't part of E3, but, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's the same type of stuff. So, yeah, Thursday is, like, the first, like, you know, I think when we'll start to really see the big game reveals. I guess unless you're a Battlefield 6 person, then it's Wednesday for you. But if that's not your cup of tea, then Thursday will probably be the first announcement that'll make you perk up.
Yeah. And then I think the Xbox Bethesda one is not going to be overlapping us, which is going to be kind of nice. On Sunday.
That is nice. Thank you to Microsoft for buying Bethesda and making them move.
Yes. So they're going to be what, Sunday morning?
It'll be Sunday morning. Yeah, 10 a.m. for me, 1 p.m. for you. 10 a.m. on the west, 1 p.m. on the east. So and that's, I think, Microsoft's usual spot, or, you know, when there was a live event in 2018, 2019. So it's just Bethesda's obviously tacked onto that now. So that'll be neat. So I think we're going to try to do a simulcast here if it's allowable. We don't know what Microsoft's stance on the co-streaming is, but either way, we'll be in chat, if nothing else. Like, if we're not allowed to do a video feed, then we'll be in chat.
Yeah, and I got the email from from Jeff Keighley's group about Summer Games Fest, but that's like Thursday during the day. You're working, I'm working.
Yeah.
And it's non-movable commitments.
Exactly. I cannot bend my Thursday commitments. Yeah. So, unfortunately, I won't even be watching. I will just have to see the Cliff Notes after it's over and the YouTube trailers.
Yeah. So, but yeah, this is theoretically the most exciting time of the year for gaming, and a bunch of games come out this week as well. Because I know, if you have a PS5, Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate is out this week, I believe on the 11th. So, and if you have kids that want to learn how to game, the game creation kit for the Switch, which I forgot the name of it, but the where you can make your own games.
Game Design Garage.
Yeah. The Garage Game. That's coming out this week. So now we're getting to start see some games coming out, some newer games. So I'm excited.
Yeah. But a little bummed I don't have a PS5, but I mean, I guess I could always download the Yiffy DLC to. No, it's not. No. It doesn't exist on PS4. Yeah, huh? Darn.
It's PS5 only.
Darn. Yeah. I guess I'll have to catch up on it later. Bummer. Yeah.
Game Builder Garage is the name we couldn't think of.
There it is.
ZenMonkey11 says they should do E3 from Friday to Monday. This middle of the week stuff is whack. The reason I think they're still kind of holding on to the trade show aspect, because remember, like, originally E3 wasn't for you, and so it being in the middle of the week made more sense because it was a business trip for everybody that was attending. Obviously, E3 has changed recently, and it is more consumer focused. So yes, now there are more things on the weekend, but originally E3 wasn't for you. It was for the members of the industry. It's just gamers feel that the consumers are the most important part of the industry, so they demanded to be included. Brought this up every once in a while here on the show. I don't know. So apparently, though, one of the leaks that we talked about, half of it has come true so far, because just before I went live, the YouTuber that we had talked about with Arcade 1-Up stuff 2 weeks ago posted the actual trailer video for the Simpsons arcade one up. That was actually posted. It's on our Discord in the OLR channel, but it was posted like 7:50 p.m. Eastern, so it was like right before I went on the air. But they actually show the Simpsons arcade cabinet. And I'm going to see if I can pull it up here.
I did not know. Okay, I think that's on our show roll for tonight too, Jamie. If you're out there. This is news to me too. I didn't know a full trailer. I knew about the tweet. There was the tweet that we were going to roll with that kind of it didn't straight up confirm the earlier rumors. But when you put pictures of bright pink donuts straight out of the Simpsons and say like Happy National Donut Day, it kind of lends itself to a big hint there, right? So yeah. Wow. So it looks like our leaker found the whole thing, huh?
Yep,
that's pretty cool.
And so there's actually like a video showing the arcade 1-Up cabinet. Playing the Simpsons. So the reason I bring this up is not because I care about the Simpsons arcade. It's because Tron was in the same leak.
And exactly. Bingo.
This is true. and they're actually rolling video of like actual shot video of the cabinet and of people playing it. If this is true, it means the Tron one is most likely true as well. So it's not that I'm interested in this game. Other people are.
Yes.
It's that there was other stuff included that made me want to that I'm hoping for. But nothing has been released about Tron yet. So that video did not come out.
There's smoke, there's fire. But it's Arcade 1-Up is an exhibitor at E3, virtually, obviously. So I think it's pretty much expected at this point we're going to get this Simpsons thing confirmed and then all this other stuff, assumably.
Yeah.
So there was also, it wasn't in the leaks, but somewhere else I saw on a Twitter thread or something, there's a Super Pac-Man, which is one of my other, like, I would say it's probably in like my top five like nostalgia games for me, specifically Super Pac-Man, which I don't think a lot of people really cared for, but for me it just, I don't know, it invokes a certain memory. But there's a like a countertop of that coming out, and although I don't know how many more of those big replica machines I can buy, I might be able to fit a countertop somewhere.
Yeah, they got that, and like in the same leak there was a Paw Patrol game. Because they're starting like a kids line, so like they're not as big as the cabinets, the 3/4 size cabinets that they've been selling. These are smaller for little kids, and so they can stand up and play. And I think Paw Patrol is a new game that's going to be on that. And I think they're even making a Pac-Man, so they actually had like three sizes of Pac-Man games and stuff. So So Arcade 1-Up's coming out with some good stuff. And who thought a couple years ago that we'd be talking about Arcade 1-Up as much as we are? Because we're like, well, why not just play a MAME cabinet or something? But now it's like we're talking about it a lot more.
They've just done a really good job with the replica cabinets, and I think they've made a collectible that's very desirable. And, they make it easy. They make it IKEA furniture building. So I think that's why it's catching on. And just because you have these doesn't mean you can't have a MAME cabinet.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not going to say they're easy because it always takes me 4 hours to build it. And other people, it's like, it only took me an hour and a half. And I'm like, but it took me.
You should see me building IKEA furniture. It's not pretty, but yeah.
What else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR tonight?
I do want to just say a quick reminder, because the chatters are figuring this out, is that we started a new channel point raising thing for a bonus stream.
Yeah.
So just a reminder, you might want to get that in before Bobby's show is over. We're going to be bringing you an episode one of OLR with full commentary. Myself, Dark Soccer, and Loki, who haven't listened to episode one in a very, very long time, if ever. So that'll be fun, I think. And honestly, if you guys raise the points in the next couple of weeks, which hopefully you do, we might be able to do it like right where the anniversary is around. I didn't see what day of the week June 23rd is, but we should be able to do it right around there, which I think would be a lot of fun. So get those points raised and we'll do that. But as far as tonight's show, so as going from episode 1 to 871, we will talk about, speaking of collectibles, Taito's got one of their own coming. Speaking of, I mean, these mini arcade 1-Up success has led to all these other ones, right?
Yep.
But there's something really unique about what Taito's doing that I think is super cool. We're going to talk about that as well. I have my thoughts on Facebook, but I think they made a very interesting acquisition this week. So we'll talk about that as well. And a game I love a lot. I know you love too. No Man's Sky, yet another gigantic update, the Prism update, just in time for Pride Month. Happy Pride. But a new graphics, graphical overhaul for the game. And might I remind you, they just did a graphical overhaul in November when the new consoles came out. So this is like part two. It's crazy, but here we go. Still supporting this game all these years later. It's great.
Yep. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Join us live. Interact with the show directly. We'll already have half of the E3 announcements already, or the Summer Games Fest, or whatever we're calling this June time of all the video game announcements. Hopefully Tron will have been announced by then, and I could cry about how much money I've already, you know, pre-ordered for it. But join us then and interact with the show directly here on Twitch. Or you can just join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. We'll be talking all throughout the week about all this stuff. You can give your comments, and I might pull them to be here on the podcast if you can't be here on Sunday nights, which I completely understand. Also, Twitter at Bobby Blackwolf is where I am, and I'll be posting over there. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make all this work without the generous support of some of our chatters who have gone above and beyond. You watching is all we really need. Or all we really, really desire. But if you want to throw us some bits and subscriptions over on Twitch or add subscribe to us through Amazon Prime, your Prime Gaming sub for the month, we're totally cool with that, and that helps us do even more. So thank you so much, Tiger Claw, who resubscribed. Thank you so much, as well as Rob Roberts, who resubscribed tonight. So thank you so much for that. Where's the button that could... That's not the button that has the song. There's the one that actually plays the outro music. So now I'm going to shut up, and we're going to see what happens this week. Wash your hands. Keep washing your hands. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.